Amen. Let me get right into the word of the Lord here tonight. If we will go to the book of Luke, if I have to sniff or sneeze or wipe my nose, y'all just bear with me tonight and be glad it's not you. Brother, you texted me about the men's prayer meeting, and I'm glad you did. I was working sick, and when I got off from work, I went right to the house and almost to the bed and forgot all about that men's prayer meeting. But I hope y'all had a wonderful time. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. We're not talking about a 30-year-old man or a 70-year-old man. We're talking about a 12-year-old boy. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? In other words, you did this intentionally. He replied, Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing, and we have been looking for you. It was 3 days. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Oh, yes, hallelujah. 12-year-old, my Lord, said these words. He said, I must be about my father's business. I want to teach for a little while tonight about my father's business. Amen. Say it with me. About my father's business. Glory to God. Pray with me. Lord, we come before you tonight. Help us to realize, Lord, that what we are facing in this life is nothing new, for there's nothing new under the sun. But Lord, it's just a repeat. In your mind, God, it's already been played out. While it may be new to us, God, I know this. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We ask you, Lord, to give us the faith and the strength to face the challenges that we are today. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk about my father's business. Amen. It's time. Many times we'll say it's time to get down to business, you know, and sometimes you're just kind of playing around. I remember my daddy saying that to me several times, and it wasn't about business and making money, and it's time to get down to business, you know, and he meant it's time to get real. It's time to put aside the games and the laughter. And in fact, in one place he says, it's time to call a solemn assembly. There's a time we need to play jubilation and dance and all these guys. There's a fine, we need to do that, but there comes a time you got to be serious about some things. You know, there's come some time that you've got to realize that he has saved you for a purpose. What's the business of the Father? Amen. Can we always rejoice about us, or should we rejoice in the business of the Father? Amen. Almost every business website today, you have some standard things that describe the company. If you go there, these little tabs, you'll see there's a mission statement, right? You look and there's a contact tab where you contact us. And there's another one, though, that says about us, right? And I always go to the about us. Before I want to contact you and before I want to see what your mission is, I want to know more about you. Amen. And so I'll click on that button to see what they're about. Because if it's not about what I'm interested in, then I don't want to go any further with it. Amen. So before there ever was an internet, let me tell you, Jesus had an about clause and a mission statement already. I must be about my father's business. Amen. And at 12 years old, his father and his mother accidentally leaves him behind at a festival, probably thinking the other kinfolks had him because he probably visited with his cousins and John and all of those, and they pack up and leave and go about 3 days' journey. They say, where's Jesus? Now, I don't know how he's missing for 3 days, but he was missing for a while. And then they had to go back, and they find this young man at 12 years old talking to doctors. They're gathered around him. Get the picture. a 12-year-old boy, and he's answering their questions. They're going, my, how do you know this? They were just astonished with his questions and with his answers. And then here in steps Mary into the crowd of all these men and says, don't you understand that you, our father, your father and I have sorrowed looking for you? We have been worried about you, trying to find you. And he said, you know, your father and I, that was Joseph was not his real father. And he said, don't you know I must be up and about my father's business? Because my business is not that business. My business is the temple business. My business is the kingdom business. And so I'm already at 12 years old establishing myself as a businessman, if you will. I am about the business of the kingdom. Amen. Does anybody mean business tonight? Amen. Anybody tired of playing games? I'm tired of playing church. I get sick of people that's all around the church and never in the church. They're going to play church and never in the church. I am in this thing with all my marbles, and I have been, and every time I get a little bit more marbles, I put them in too. Amen. Because I want to stay focused on what the business of living for God is really all about. And Jesus was so enthused with the business of his father that he turned over tables inside. I mean, made him a whip. He was business to him. Not that kind of business. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That's my kind of business. Hallelujah. And Jesus said this. He said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You ever had anybody get away with you? You said, boy, that ate me up. What it meant was, man, you just couldn't get away from it. It was there day and night. That was all you could think about. Well, that's what he was saying. The zeal of his house has consumed me. That's all I think about. That's all I want to do. And until you and I get down to business about really serving God, you will never see the manifestation of the Spirit of God until you get down to business. You can't try this to see if it works for you. I'm sorry. You do it because you love it and because you're eaten up with this thing. And it's just the benefit of getting down to business. Some people say, I paid my tithes. That didn't work. The windows of heaven didn't open for me. I started praying an hour a day. That didn't work. None of that's going to work until you do it from your heart. And when you do it from your heart, you have gotten down to business in serving God. And so you have to realize that the more you know about God, the more about his business you can become. So if I don't know much about my business, you don't want to hire me, right? But the more I know about my business, then the more capable I am of running my business. And that's why Jesus said my people are destroyed. They don't stay in business very long because they don't know about my business. They have not read the scriptures. They're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They don't know enough about me to stay in business. You'd be surprised how many bankrupt saints there are today. Started out going to live for God and couldn't do it. Why? They never got down to business of serving God. You know what it is to get down to business? You can't get enough of this. You can't get enough of this. Man, you get up in the middle of the night and you're troubled, you go get this book out. You go anything that entertain the Spirit of the Lord. There's nothing soothes my nerves like this right here. Nothing. Amen. And people many times are just chasing things, and they're just chasing one thing and they chase another thing, and they never get down to business. And if you don't know who you are, my God, then you allow other people to define you. But once you find out who you really are, then you cease to morph or to change into what other people say you are. Because I know in whom I have my trust, and that he is able to keep those things I've committed against him against that day. Who are you? You know, you begin to know the business of living for God so that no one can trick you up or change your mind, because I know the business of living for God. Amen. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and 12, if we could go there, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. In other words, I hadn't got there yet, and I'm not perfect yet, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. What he is saying is, one day I'm going to catch it. OK, Okay, that's what he's saying. I'm not there yet, and you may not be there yet, and I may not be there yet, but I am still after it. And I may not have apprehended everything that God has wanted me to be yet, but I'm still after it. I'm not going to stop until I've got what God has, everything that God has for me. So he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before or ahead of me. So he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I might as well tell you, your pastor is in this for the prize. I am in this for the prize. Praise the Lord. I'm not in this to run a race or to see how many we can run in church or how big of sanctuary. I'm not in it for that. What I'm in it is for the prize. The prize is being saved. It's eternal life. It's the things that never change. It's the things that does not perish. Amen. And so inside of this scripture, we understand that Paul is after something. He's after something. And you and I should always be after something. For even God said, blessed are those that seek me, that ask for me and knock for me. They're after something because there is a hunter inside of all of us. Every one of us, especially us men, boy, we are hunters. But if we're not careful, we will become more about the hunt than we are the game. We'll become more about the hunt than we are the prize. We'll become more about the chase than we are obtaining the prize. Paul said, I press to obtain. I'm not just in this so I can sing a good song or preach a good sermon. I'm in this to get the prize. And if we're not careful, we get carried away with the chase and we get carried away with the hunt and never get the prize. We'll be like the deer dog that chases the deer but never catches the deer. You set him out next time, he'll chase it all day and all night. You'll be looking for your deer dog the next day, and he never catches it. And we have to be careful in our quest of living for God that we don't just press towards something and never obtain what we're after tonight. Some folks are always on a chase. They're always after something, and they're never really, it's always out of their grasp, and they never get what they're really after. And, you know, if you're not careful, you get distracted with being a hunter. You probably know what I'm talking about. When you go deer hunting, I mean, they've got scent blocker clothes. You wear clothes that's supposed to block your scent. They spray stuff on the bottom of their shoes to mask their scent, so when they walk to the blind, that a deer won't smell where they've been. I mean, it's all kinds of things to mask your scent so that the deer doesn't smell you. In fact, I don't know if you've ever heard of the red herring before, but the red herring is a fish, you know. But what they used to do with the red herring, this is told for the truth, in the olden days they had dogs that would chase criminals, and they would always carry a red herring with them on the chase, so the dogs would always chase the strongest scent, so that they would drag the red herring behind them and leave it somewhere and run on, so that the dogs, when they found the red herring, the chase was over and they continued to run because the dog went to the strongest scent. And there are some people just like that here. That, I mean, not here in this church, but some people do that. They just go wherever. Oh, the Lord's over here. And they go over there. Oh, he's over here. And they never find the Lord. He said, don't go here, there, looking. He said, I'm within you. Amen. And there's some people, I don't know if there's any here tonight, but they're always in a fight. There's always in a struggle. There's always hunting drama. They're always sniffing up trouble. They're always stirring up trouble. And if there's not any trouble, they'll start some trouble because they can't live without the drama. They just can't live peaceably. They're going to find a way to stir you up. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you and I are in this for the prize, and I cannot let anybody stop me from catching what I'm after. I can't let you get so angry at you that I quit going after what the Lord wants me to go after. I can't get so mad at you and so disturbed at what you do that I chase you instead of him. And if we're not careful, we'll go for the strongest scent and not really what we should be after. Amen. This is basically the catch and release program, Brother Lowry. This is, you know, back in you and I's earlier day, we caught those. They were big back then, 7-pound bass, and boy, we got them mounted. We stuffed them. I mean, that bass went on my wall, that bass. Now we're in this deal where you're not fishing, you're hunting. You're hunting a 10-pounder. And you catch a 10-pounder, And you hold him up and you take a few pictures of him and you release him. Releasing. All you was doing was hunting him. That's all you were doing was hunting him. Because you don't keep him. You just hunted him and you got the pride, the picture and all that, and you let him go. But I'm telling you, in living for God, I'm not in catch and release. I'm in catch and keep. I want to keep everything I catch in God. Amen. I want to keep every prize and every memorial and everything that I get in God. I want to keep it. I don't want to release it back in to try to find it again someday. I got a neighbor that fishes behind my wharf, and all I ever catch off my wharf is these little bitty throwbacks. But I get there one day and say, hey, I caught a 10-pounder behind your wharf. He's sitting at his wharf throwing behind my wharf and caught a 10-pounder. I said, well, I hope you released it. He said, I did. I said, where? And then I'm coming back. I'm going up the lake one day. I haven't been up there but once this year. I've been so busy, and I was headed up there, and I get a phone call from another guy I hadn't heard from in years. He said, we just got back from fishing around your wharf. He said, and a friend of mine caught a 12-pounder. I was about ready to chase the wrong thing there. I mean, we have to be careful that you and I discern. There is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it's not really a fruit of the Spirit, but it's a gift of the Spirit. It's called discernment. Amen. And that's the one I pray constantly. Lord, give me that spirit to discern good and evil. Give me that spirit to discern right and wrong. Give me that spirit to discern between Judas and John. Amen. You have to know the difference between Judas and John. He called 12 apostles, but he said one of them is the devil. And it's up to us to discern which one is Judas and which one is John. Because John leaned upon his breast and Judas kissed him. But one of them was a true disciple and the other one was full of the devil. And at the table that night, when he said, one of you will betray me, John says, is it I? And they all, the Bible says, every one of them said, it is I. But guess who was last to say, it is I? Yep, you guessed it, Judas. And he said, thou hast said. Okay, so you and I have to be careful to discern who's Judas and who's John in our life. Who are we going to let to lean on us and who are we going to let to kiss us? Who are we going to befriend and who we're not going to befriend to? Because you can get betrayed by people that are close to you. And the worst betrayals there are is when people are close to you and turn their back on you. I feel for you, my brother, for what your testimony, but I know you're strong in the Lord because I've been called some names too. And they're just little short words, about four letters. That's and ing's behind them, you know. That's all it is. And, you know, you just have to realize that that's not going to make me chase you in anger and chase you in this. I'm going to give that to the Lord and let the Lord tend that. He's fought all my battles so far. He'll fight this battle too. Amen. You and I have to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error so that we know how to do business. Amen. You know, I run a business or two, and when you're in business, you come into contracts with people. I think it was you that told me fences make good neighbors. Yeah, fences make good neighbors, but contracts make good business partners. If you don't have a contract, you don't have anything. And I work sometimes with these people in China. And they say, oh, you just have to trust me. I say, I don't trust you. I trust contract. You sign contract. We do business. And when you come into a contract with anybody, it's only then that you can share your secrets. Okay? That's what even a marriage is, right? A marriage is a contract. It's a covenant. And when you come into a marriage, you're now I should be able to share my deepest secrets with you. But if you're not in relationship with me through covenant or contract, as we say, then I don't want to share. I don't want to give away my secrets. But I do want to unload them, for we all do. Amen. We all want to empty that closet. But you only want to empty it to someone who can share with you in what you went through. Amen? And so it is through a good contract that you begin to share your secrets one with the other. And you and I tonight, if you want to know the secrets of the Lord, you have to go into covenant with the Lord. You have to go into a covenant. Let's see what David said. He said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. Amen. So when you come into covenant relationship with the Lord, it, like Abraham did, he came into a covenant, and every covenant had a sign. He came to a covenant with Abraham, he had circumcision as his sign. He came into a covenant with Noah, he had a rainbow as the sign. Every time there was a covenant, there was a sign. He comes up with you and I with the Holy Ghost, there's a sign that goes along with the Holy Ghost too. Amen. And he's only going to share his secrets. The secrets of the Lord are only with them who fear him. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? The beginning of wisdom, right? So there's no need for me to give you the wisdom of the Lord if you don't fear me. You have to fear me. You have to respect me to tell you my secrets. If I tell you the secret and I say, don't you tell anybody, and then you go tell Brother Johnson, hey, he told me not to tell you this, but don't you tell anybody. And then by the time Brother Johnson goes to Brother Woodard and he said, Brother Woodard, don't you tell nobody, but I just want to tell you this. Well, Lord, what good is my secret? It's no secret at all. But the same is true if I go to you and say, don't you tell nobody, and then I go to him and I say, don't you tell nobody. Well, I'm just the one that's telling everybody. It works both ways. But the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He gives you understanding that people can't rob you of. They can ask you, how do you understand this? How do you know this? How do you understand? It's through the covenant relationship with God. I agreed to give God all my heart, all my finances. I don't own anything. My name may be on something, but it belongs to the Lord. Everything I got belongs to him tonight. I'm in relationship. You remember a sermon I preached y'all one time called Under Contract? Under contract. And when a person is getting ready to buy a house, it says for sale, for sale. And after a while, you'll see this sign on their kind of side where it says under contract. Well, it's not until that is under contract the secrets are being revealed. Because when it goes under contract, you sign what's called a disclosure statement. But as long as it's just for sale, we don't know the secrets. If it ever really flooded, we don't know if the roof leaks, we don't know if there's a cracked slab. But once you go under contract, brother, you better cough it up. And it's the same thing with the Lord. You will never know the secrets of living for God till you come into covenant with him. Until you decide, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my mind, all my heart, all my strength, and love my neighbor as myself, you will never come into contract with the Lord until you're ready to give him every effort you've got to live for him. Amen. Let's do that. Clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am under contract to the Lord. I'm preaching to you under contract. I serve the Lord under contract. Amen. And I want to share with you what God has given me because you and I need to be under contract with each other. Amen. My body, my hands want to share with what my eyes see. My feet want to share with what my heart feels. And that's the way we should be. The Bible says that God will not withhold any good gift from his children. He wants to share those. And as your pastor and as brothers and sisters, we should want to share, just like he did, what happened. We should rejoice, and we do, with what's happened in Brother George's life. Consider it yourself. You would be, you know, it's been a struggle. Like he said, 3 years, it's been a struggle. And he's more peaceful tonight than he's probably been in 3 years because he finally said, Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to depend on you. I'm under contract to you, and I'm not going to let this evil be in my house. I'm going to put an end to it. Amen. And when you do that, guess what? The Lord shows up with ways you didn't even know he had. And sometimes we have the wrong business mentality thinking about God because we think that only God is going to call great people. He's only going to share his greatness with great people. And in my business, many times people say, well, I'd come to you and bring my money to manage to you, but I just don't have enough and I just don't know. You got some clients of this. Baloney. I'll help you with $1,000 or $1,000,000. It doesn't matter. And put forth the same effort. It's not about that. What the Lord wants us to do is to put our efforts and what he puts in you. He'll take what you would count as least and bring it to the top. Amen. Look at who he chose. The least of the tribe of Benjamin is what Saul and David were. They were the least in the family. And he brought them all the way to the top. Amen. And sometimes we think, well, God's only going to share this with preachers. God's only going to share this with evangelists. God's only going to share this with the quote-unquote men of God. That's not so. That's not so. You can have as deep a walk with God as I do or anybody else does. He doesn't withhold anything from you that he would give to me either. You all are on your own journey. I'm just here to help you and lead you and guide you. But I don't have to know more than you. Amen. No one knows really what's on the inside of them until it's drawn out. People, I've seen people talk tough. Boy, if he comes after me, I tell you, I'm going to rip him. And as soon as he comes after me, I'm sorry. You don't know what's in you until you meet adversity. And then when you meet adversity, let's see what's inside of you. But as long as there's no adversity, talk is not where it's at. It's in actions. And through adversity, we find out whether you really mean business or not. Amen. And so when we look at even Samson, he did not know what was inside of him until the lion roared. But he was in covenant with the Lord, right? But when the lion roared up against him and he had nothing in his hands and he whipped that lion, then he's asking himself this question, who am I now? Who am I? Ooh, how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. It happened because he was in covenant with the Lord. We know the story of Samson, how it goes. But he, as long as he was in covenant with God, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he was mightier than anybody else. As they come tonight, I'll tell you of David. David did not know what was inside of him until he got to the battlefield and heard the giant defy the armies of the living God. He didn't know. He didn't know what was inside of him. He didn't say when he was in the shepherd's field, boy, if I could just be a warrior, if I could just fight a giant, I'll rise to the top. If I can, no. He was just doing what he was called to do. But when adversity came, he said, who is that uncircumcised Philistine to challenge the armies of the living God? Is there not a cause? Something came. Why did that happen? He was in covenant. He was in covenant with the Lord. And so when you're in covenant with God, you may lay dormant for a long time, but you may not know what's inside of you. But sooner or later, you stay in covenant. And when adversity comes, all of a sudden, there's something inside of you that rises up that you didn't even know was inside of you all this time. I mean, he was carrying cheese and cheese crackers and peanut butter and jelly to his brothers. And the next time we see him, he's carrying the head of Goliath. What a change is that? And I believe tonight you don't know what's inside of you. You don't know how strong you are. You look at Gideon hiding, threshing the wheat. And the Lord said, thou mighty man of valor. He's like, who is he talking to? He didn't know what was inside of him until the Lord let him see adversity. Brother George, you may not even know you could do that until the day of adversity. And I just believe tonight I'm talking to someone that you don't know what's inside of you. Mary looked at him and said, who is my boy now? That's my boy. He's not but 12. Who is he now? Talking to him. It puzzled her. She raised him. It puzzled her. My Lord. And the Bible says she kept all of this in her heart. My. And the next verse or two says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Why? He was in covenant with God. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. You can't help but increase when you got God. Jesus said, I'm under contract. My will is to do the will of the one that sent me and to finish it. I only speak what I'm told to speak. How many of you under contract tonight? Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. If you're under contract, then Jesus is the center of it all. Amen. Your life needs to revolve all around Jesus because it's all about him this morning, this evening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be great among the heathen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Lord, show them what's in them.